This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. If you couldn't tell by the music, it is the Manchester United fan show. 2 minutes past eight on your Sunday evening. Miles Blumsome and Ben Senior here with you. Man United fans, if you want to get your opinion on the radio, 0208 70 20 558 is our number here at Love Sport. You can call us or you can drop us a message on WhatsApp. Alternatively, tweet us at Love Sport Radio. As I said before, joined by Ben Senior. Ben, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's been an interesting week for Man United. I generally, feeling for me, is that it's been fairly positive. 6-0 away at Tranmere. Not an easy thing to do, especially on that pitch up at Prenton Park. Sorry, it was awful up there. Knocked out of the Carabao Cup in the semi-final stage, but beating Manchester City 1-0 at the Etihad, it's not easy to do. And then a draw against Wolves. Yeah, I mean, you want to be beating Wolves, but this isn't Wolves of when they're in the Premier League 5-10 years ago. This is a very, very good Wolves side. How do you feel about the week?
Yeah, you look at it at the minute, and we've got to take it week on week. And I think don't overreact. Like you said, we've beat Tranmere, and that was a great result. Okay, getting through to the next round of the cup. Midweek against City, only two sides have kept a clean sheet there all season, us and Wolves now. So actually, on the night, the performance was good enough. It was just the first leg that let us down. And then against Wolves yesterday, I think when you look at it overall, that's two very well-matched teams. Like, that is our level at the minute. We are fighting with Wolves and the likes of obviously Chelsea and now Sheffield United as well for that top four spot. So I think both teams sort of cancelled each other out a bit yesterday. I think you've seen improvement on the pitch. I think we are playing better football. We're just still lacking a bit of a cutting edge.
Do you think that Man United deserved more from the draw yesterday?
I think it's difficult to argue that. I think we were probably shaded it slightly on possession and being the better team, but I think Wolves would have felt very disappointed if they didn't get a point out of that game. I think you're looking at it, and I think the issue was that whilst we were very, very sound defensively, I thought, again, a week where we've kept all clean sheets and we've not conceded a goal, which is saying something this season. So I think the defence looked very sound, and the midfield looked a lot more improved with Bruno in there now, Bruno Fernandes, and it was just up front. Martial didn't have a shot all game. So that's what we're just lacking, just that final touch in their box, really.
Oh, well, as I've said before, 0208 70 20558 is our number here at Love Sport Radio. Josh is on the line. Josh, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Yeah, hi. I'm a United fan. Just wonder if I could say something on the transfer window.
Yeah, of course you can. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I think I'm glad Ollie brought someone in because we definitely needed someone because we weren't good enough as a squad. I mean, Bruno Fernandes is a great boy. He's an attacking player, isn't he? Very clinical. But Odion Ighalo, I don't think he's the right man for the job. I know he's only on loan for 6 months, but still, I just don't think he's the man to replace Lukaku or Rashford.
Well, it's only short term because Rashford, you would think, is going to be the top choice. Is there anyone else you would rather have got?
Yeah, I definitely would have rather got Edison Cavani. I mean, I know he was linked with Chelsea as well, wasn't he, from PSG. I think he is a clinical striker who can get his goals and get us in that top four position, because now I'm a bit worried for United towards the end of the season, because if we carry on playing the way we did yesterday and not clinical, not getting goals, I don't think we'll be able to get in the top four.
You mentioned Lukaku going before, and do you think this transfer window, it sort of shows up that the lack of planning at the club to replace him and get that striker in?
100%. I mean, I was listening to Gary Neville yesterday, and he was 100% right. I mean, the club had 9 months to sort that out for the striker. I mean, and then they left it to transfer deadline day to get an ex-Watford striker. I mean, I think he'd be all right, but I think he's definitely right. And something's wrong at the top of the club. I mean, quite a bit of a mess at the minute, isn't it? Of course, we saw the news of what happened to Ed Woodward's house on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, I mean, no one is condoning what happened to Ed Woodward's house on Wednesday morning. Josh, are you happy with Ed Woodward, though? Do you want to see a director of football? Do you want to see, you just mentioned Gary Neville's name. Would you like to see Gary Neville involved with the club again?
100%. I think he and the Class 92 would be fantastic to take charge of the club. I know they're involved at Hotel Football in Salford City. I mean, the way they played in the pitch and where now they work for their own team, will work for Sky Sports, isn't he? I think he'd be fantastic, and he'll set out what the club wants and he'll be able to sort the club out. I'd definitely love to see him involved.
Josh, just quickly, how old are you?
I'm 12.
12. Josh, you're very well spoken. You know your stuff about football. I think we've got a sports broadcaster on our hands here. Josh, thank you so much for calling us today. 0208 70 20 558, of course, is the number here at WhatsApp, at Love Sport Radio. We've also had a WhatsApp message in. He's just said, we're saying it's not so bad. One win in the last five, that was against Norwich. No goal in the last three Premier League games. Seventh in the league. And out of 33 games in the league that Ollie's been in charge of, only won 11. Do me a favour. This is Manchester United we're talking about. Hashim there. What do you think to that?
I mean, come on, you can't overreact. Yes, it is Manchester United. We are United, and we should be towards the top end of the league. But you've got to take it in this current situation. Like, you look at the club at the minute, and we've said week in, week out on this show that at the top there is issues, and there's been issues with the recruitment process, issues with players not being replaced from players going out and being sold and not having that investment in. But looking at the current situation, our squad is very depleted at the minute, whether that be with injuries, whether that be with selling people, whether that be with people going out on loan. So I think you've got to look at it, and I think out of all this season, we've got to look at this week as being a step in the right direction. I think it is a missed opportunity yesterday, because I think we need to make ground up in that top four, but don't overreact too much.
Yeah, I mean, him saying, come on, this is Manchester United, does that show a sense of entitlement that people and Man United fans will have said about Arsenal fans, particularly, like, who cares? You're only as good as your last season. You're only as good as your last game. Is this a sense of entitlement that and not seeing the bigger picture?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it is a bit of a sense of entitlement. I think we are all a bit guilty of it sometimes, because we're used to United winning. We're used to growing up with Fergie and winning league titles, but that isn't happening right now. And we've got a plan in place, and you've got to look at the project and look at the next few years and think where we're going. And I get if fans have a bit of a disagreement on the way the club is run, I'm fully behind that. But look at the players on the pitch. And yesterday you saw a team playing to near enough the maximum, and just a few players were let us down a little bit. But that is just where we're at the minute. The squad just isn't good enough.
And in terms of looking at the bigger picture, a few players at Man United have really had time to settle in before fans have started getting on their back. One of those players is Fred, who's actually named Player of the Month by the fans. Are we starting to see the Fred that's worth the amount of money he was signed for? Are we seeing a player who could potentially blossom into a key component in Man United's midfield?
Yep, I think you mentioned the Player of the Month, and I think he's been our most consistent performer recently. I think in a midfield where we have been hit with a lot of injuries, you think McTominay, Pogba have been missing throughout most of the season. Matic, I think, would have been out the door this January if we hadn't have got those injuries. So you're asking him to step up, and I think he has done, and I think he is our most consistent performer at the minute, and consistently being that player that breaks up the defence, and now hoping you've got Bruno in there to complement him.
Do you think that having a bit more responsibility on his shoulders has helped Fred? Because before he was playing next to Paul Pogba, who's meant to be this superstar of Man United's midfield, now he's been playing a lot next to someone like Pereira, who hasn't been setting the league alight. Let's be fair, that's a player that maybe looked slightly off the level Man United fans would expect. Is it a case of Fred's risen to the challenge of having to have responsibility in the Manchester United midfield?
Yeah, I think it is, and settling in within English football. I think you've got to give players like that a bit of saving grace with the time that they come in. And he came in for a lot of money, so a lot of United fans like myself, who perhaps had only seen him in the odd Champions League game for Shakhtar, were expecting him to come up with the goods straight away, because he was 50 million, if not more. So I think the price tag didn't help him, but he has been given that time to make his place in the team this year, and he formed that partnership with McTominay. I think that's really where we saw the best of Fred, when he was able to create that midfield access with McTominay, and now he's going on to be our most consistent performer.
Josh, who called up earlier talking about Odin Ighalo, saying it wasn't the signing that he wanted. I think that most people, apart from probably Ighalo's parents and maybe his close friends, would rather have Edinson Cavani than Odin Ighalo up front for you. But let's just quickly, before we get into this, hear from Jay from the full-time Devils. He wasn't very happy with the recruitment of the club.
I'm pretty sure I haven't had a drink tonight. So I don't know what's going on, innit? Those aren't the words I thought I'd be hearing when I woke up this morning, that Odin Ighalo is now playing for Manchester United. It's not a move that I would have really wanted, if I'm being brutally honest. I wouldn't have been like, oh, you know, we need to get Ighalo. He's the answer to our problems. It's certainly not one I saw coming. I think this just goes to show the ineptitude of Manchester United in the way that they don't have a strategy. The fact that we're pushing through a loan deal for a player who didn't score in his last 14 Premier League games, is it? Or one goal in his last 15 Premier League games? And that was, three or four years ago. And now we're pushing this loan deal through at the 11th hour because we're short of options. After we've let the likes of Romelu Lukaku and Alexis Sanchez go in the summer, just shows you that there is no strategy at Manchester United. There's no plan. Okay, yes, you get injured and they have to adapt to that. But we've been light up front since the summer and we've done nothing about it. And now we've left it to this point where we tried to get Josh King, we couldn't get that deal in. Okay then, let's lower our expectations, let's go for Ighalo, we can probably get him into the end of the season. And listen, I hope he bangs in goals for fun, I hope he proves me wrong, but it's not a move that I expected, because it's a move that really, he's not a Manchester United player really, is he? He's not the type of player you think, oh yeah, he's a player that United need. So, you know, it's desperation that has caused this move, not anything else. And as I said, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he proves me wrong, and I hope he's can't stop scoring, but I don't expect him to, and I think this is just another indication of how far this club has fallen and how we lack a true strategy when it comes to transfers and it comes to managing the squad.
What do you make of the Odin Ighalo transfer? Because I don't think it's a bad move.
I think I'm in two minds about this, because I think it does show desperation on behalf of the board and on behalf of Ed Woodward, because you think we sell Lukaku and 6 months later we're searching around for, let's be honest, a massive downgrade on him. And you can just imagine in deadline day there seems to be like alarms going off that, oh my God, we need this striker, let's go for Josh King, no, let's go for Ighalo. And you're thinking, well, we've needed a striker for at least 6 months, so it's a bit strange that now we're suddenly searching around for now to get one. But you look at Chelsea, Spurs, I think they were all in the same situation. I think Ighalo actually turned down Spurs, the reports that yeah, happened. But so they were both searching for a striker as well. And let's be honest, there's not a lot of world-class strikers out there.
Especially in January.
I've seen Cavani's name mentioned. People mentioned the likes of Mertens at Napoli. But the problem you've got with them, and I think why United avoided that option, is the wages. And you've got to sign, if you're signing someone like that, it's got to be at least on a 12, 18-month deal. And then you're thinking, is it Sanchez Mark II? Are we going after a past-it player that's spending big wages? So I think it does show desperation, and it is a lack of transfer strategy from the board to not recognise we need to get a striker in the summer, but it is probably the best option we could have got right now, and fairly risk-free in the sense that it's a six-month loan, it won't be on massive wages. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, and we say see you later.
But the key thing for me is Odin Ighalo, he scores goals. He's got a good goal-scoring record pretty much everywhere he goes. At Watford, he scored, 36 in 90 league games, which isn't too bad for a team like Watford coming into the Premier League. You know, they're not expected, strikers don't score 30 goals a season for the teams down the bottom of the league, or else they wouldn't be down there. Then he's gone off to China for his first side, Changchun Yatai. He scored 36 in 55. I know it's only in China, but you can only score against what's in front of you. And then he signed for Shanghai Greenland Shenhua last year, and he scored 10 in 17. Even if he doesn't play like amazing football, he might be the most fashionable United signing. He scores goals, and that's what you need.
His main strength is goal scoring. He might be lacking in other areas, whether it's holding up the ball or coming into bringing others into play, but his main thing is goal scoring. And you looked at the game yesterday, and Martial just wasn't at it. And what we were lacking was something off the bench. I know we had Greenwood to come on, but just something else, just to mix it up a little bit. And I think that's why they were so desperate to get this over the line, yeah, is that in games where, look, Ighalo, if he comes in, is going to be behind, you'd like to hope, he's behind Martial and Greenwood for that starting striker
You think he'll be behind Greenwood to start?
Personally, I would say so. But just to see where he's at sort of level-wise with his fitness, with Quinn back into the Premier League. And then obviously once Rashford's back, he'll move further down again. So we're not expecting him to come in and get 10 goals before the end of the season, because I'm not expecting that.
But he might.
But he might do. And I think if he comes in and he makes a few sub appearances and he gets a few goals, if he gets himself in the team, then fair enough. So I think it's fairly risk-free, this loan transfer. Anyway.
Got to remember, this is also a guy who has top scored at an African Cup of Nations, and he's got good pedigree. He's quick. He'll score. I don't think it's a terrible signing. Yeah, it might be a little bit of panic, but he could prove everybody wrong. Up next, we'll talk a little bit more about the game against Wolves at the weekend. It's 8:17. This is Love Sport.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
Yes, it is the Manchester United fan show. Miles Blumsome and Ben Senior here through until 9 o'clock, talking all things Manchester United. Man United fans, if you want to get in touch with us, you know the number, 0208 70 2558. You can call us, or if you don't want, if you're one of those people who's a bit like, oh, I don't want to really be heard on the radio, but I want my opinion on the radio, send us a message on WhatsApp. It's like a text, you just have to get a new app. So WhatsApp us, call us, 0208 70 2558, or of course you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. We've been speaking about the 0-0 draw with Wolves at Old Trafford yesterday. Bruno Fernandes straight into start, 48 hours after signing. All things considered, I thought he had quite a good game.
Yeah, Ollie said midweek that he was fit enough to play, and he threw him in straight from the start. And I think you noted from the first 5 minutes that all the players were looking to find him with the passes. Mm. Everything seemed to go through him. And look, when he shaped up and he had a few shots from outside the box, I think he had the most shots on the pitch throughout the whole game. The only thing for me is he just seemed to go deeper and deeper throughout the game as it went on. I thought he was going to end up at centre-half at one point, but he started in that sort of like number 8 / number 10 position and then sort of just kept coming back. But I think that's due to the fact that behind him he didn't really have that passer to take the ball from defence to attack. So I would have liked to see him a bit further up in the pitch, but I think that was just a needs must.
I mean, you can take it positively or negatively that he's dropping deep to get the ball. It shows that at least he's not hiding. Sometimes in midfield, you can get players who are passengers, who hide, who stay in those areas where they're not going to get the ball. By dropping deeper, he's looking to make something happen. And that's the type of player that Man United have needed in their midfield this year.
That's what we've lacked. Whenever we've come up against a team that play with that low defensive block, like Wolves did yesterday, and put men behind the ball and say to United, just come and break us down, we've struggled for that. We've played well against the top teams when we're on the counter-attack, but we have really struggled with creating chances. And you could see from him, like you said, he was willing to take a risk. And okay, 1 in 3 passes might go astray, but that other one might go to the striker and might create a chance. And I think that's what we've needed. We need a brave player on the ball.
And you just mentioned brave. Taking the shots from outside the box is also something that you're seeing a lot less in the Premier League these days. A lot of teams seem to want to walk the ball in. It's refreshing to see someone who's willing to get the ball, have a look up and think, oh, I'm on here, might as well test the keeper.
Yeah, and myself, like probably a lot of United fans this week, was watching a lot of YouTube montages of Bruno Fernandes' best goals and skills and all that. And okay, that might glamorise it a little bit, but he is used to scoring long shots. And if we can have a goal threat from midfield, then I think that can only make this team even better.
Munich was remembered on the day as well. It's, you know, when it comes to the 1968 air crash, Munich air disaster, it's always good that it's something that is still at the forefront for Man United fans. I believe it's something that I know Man United fans aren't always the most popular because they won everything for a long time, but this is something that makes Man United fans a lot more endearing, to remember this disaster that happened. And it's one of those one of those moments that transcends football. I remember the game against Manchester City a few years ago where both clubs wore the commemorative shirts and Manchester City got involved, and you didn't feel that sense of rivalry that you always do. In the 68th minute, it was a... In the 58 minutes... 58th minute, sorry, 1958 air disaster, my apologies. They had a minute's applause ringing around the ground. This is something that is nicer than a moment's silence, because you can bring it in more poignant moments like the 58th minute instead of doing it before the game.
Yeah, it's a massive part of this club's history, this great club's history, and in a way it's what United is all about. It's rising from that terrible tragedy and coming back and going even stronger and making this club what it is today. And I think especially for the new players that signed to the club, like Bruno Fernandes signing this week. And you just get a sense of what this club is all about, and that just says everything. The fact that we can still remember that moment, but remember it in a way that isn't always a minute silence and something that should be seen as a tragedy, but something that's seen like, let's celebrate that great team of Busby Babes and let's celebrate Matt Busby and then how United got back up to being where we are today.
Yeah, absolutely. The survivor of the crash, Bobby Charlton, was present at the game. Also, Sir Matt Busby's assistant, Jimmy. It's always good when Bobby Charlton gets down to games. It's happening less often than it used to, but he's still one of those figures that, even though I know that you and I will never have seen him play live, we've probably seen videos. I've seen that. I did a Wembley Stadium tour once and watched and sat there and spent half of the tour watching the majority of the game between England and West Germany in the 1966 World Cup final. But having a figure like that around the club and that statue, he's still just... There's so much respect for him within Manchester United.
Oh, of course there will be, and there always will be, because, like you said, he doesn't get to every game now, but it is nice to see him in the stand. And I took my little brother around the Old Trafford Stadium tour just before Christmas, and you can see it where he sits, and he's got his plaque on the seat and his name there, and just things like that, and young fans that come to see him. And okay, like you said, personally, I've never seen him live, but even younger fans come in, and you can tell them who he is and what it means to this great club, and just seeing a figurehead like that and a legend of the club, it's just great to see.
Do you think that the memorial for the 1958 Munich air disaster was one of the reasons why there wasn't the protest, the planned walkout on 68 minutes? Do you think that might have been a bit disrespectful if it had happened?
I always find that the process a little bit funny, because I think the way that the protest in the 68th minute, I think it's not nice to see it clash a little bit with that, with the Munich remembrance. I don't feel like that's what the fans were planning, if they were planning to walk out on the 68th minute. But I don't know how I feel about that. Personally, every fan's entitled to their own opinion. If you pay a ticket to go and watch a game, you're entitled to walk out whenever you want. But I do want to see fans support our players on the pitch. And I know that the top of the club and the owners isn't where I want it to be right now, but the players on the pitch, that's who we should be supporting.
Well, Ed Woodward wasn't even there yesterday, so the protest wouldn't have been seen by the vice chairman, sorry. Wolves fans singing There's Only One Ed Woodward, though, so I'm sure that would have been very, very happy with that.
Well, tongue-in-cheek from Wolves fans, isn't it? But... Yeah, he wasn't there, was he, yesterday? I don't know whether that had any impact on what happened midweek with, obviously, the attack on his home, which wasn't nice to see. And...
No, that's too far. That is way too far. You can protest in the stand, you can make yourself heard, you can vocalise your feelings, you can hold up banners, but when you attack a man's house with his children in, and no matter how you feel like this man has run your club, you can't attack someone, but even more than that, his children have nothing to do with this. Imagine how terrified they would have been in this house while flares are being shot at it. It's disgusting.
Well, luckily, I don't think anyone was in the house at the time, which you can only say thank goodness, really, because otherwise, like you said, it would have been an absolutely terrifying experience. But yeah, I do find that really uncomfortable, and I would like to say that it is only was only a small section of United fans compared to the whole fan base. And I know that fans we've seen obviously the green and gold that come back, and you can see that it's pretty prevalent in the in the ground now again. And like I said, the against Woodward and the Glazers, and look, Ed Woodward gets paid a lot of money to do his job, and at the minute isn't doing his job very well, but that doesn't mean that in any way, shape or form his sort of house, his family, his livelihood should be harmed or endangered.
No, I completely agree. We absolutely condemn and as you rightfully said, the very small pocket of Manchester United fans that did this does not represent all Manchester United fans whatsoever. Man United fans are generally very pleasant people. And like we said, protest is fine. Protest is absolutely fine. There's a way about it, though. And doing a walk out of the stadium, fine. Chanting in the stadium, fine. Holding up banners, fine. Just do not do this. Let's go a bit more positive. Aaron Wan-Bissaka played very, very well. Was he your man of the match?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure whether him or Bruno Fernandes got it officially, but I think he was definitely up there. He did play very well. Most of our attacks did come through on that right-hand side. And I think he just lacked a little bit of support in front of him from... I know Mata was playing there for most of the game, but as Mata does, he likes to come inside. But yeah, Wan-Bissaka was very solid defensively, and he offered it a second threat as well. He perhaps could have put in a few better crossings at times, but he played very well yesterday.
His last cross was very good onto Diogo Dalot's head. It was very unfortunate. It was a difficult chance. I think that, and if it had fallen to a more natural striker, he maybe would have used his feet instead of his head, and he would have been able to get his body shape right. But that was a wonderful cross.
Yeah, like you said, it was a great delivery, and you're hoping that that's what AWB adds to his game more, because defensively he's up there with the best right backs in the league in the world. But I think he just needs to add that little bit of attacking threat. And like you said, it was a great cross. I think Dalot was unfortunate. I think he slipped just before the ball came to him.
Yeah.
And you, like I said, it came to him hip height, and he was going with his head. He didn't know where to go with his knee or his foot. So I think like it was unfortunate that it did come to him. But yeah, great cross.
If you're coaching Wan-Bissaka this week, you show him that last cross and go, this is what you're capable of doing. This is what you're good enough. And you just show it over and over and over again. This is what you want to do. In terms of the 0-0 result, the substitutions Ole Gunnar Solskjaer made, he made the substitutions he could make effectively. The squad is bare at the moment. It's very thin. Greenwood for Pereira, Lingard for Mata, and Dalot for James. But it's the timings of them. Greenwood coming on in the 72nd minute and the other two both in the 88th. Would you have liked to have seen him be a bit more pragmatic and make them a bit earlier?
A little bit. I mean, I don't know what Mason Greenwood has to do at the minute to start a game, because I think he definitely deserves a shot, if not up front on that right-hand side, because we've seen him this season cutting on his left foot, and he adds a very good goal threat and has a lot of attacking pace going forward. And you see, Martial doesn't look the same player without Rashford. He needs that link-up play, and I think he needs someone like Greenwood to bounce off. So I'm surprised he didn't throw him in from the start, and yeah, it was just a little bit late. And when we're bringing on Dalot, like we said, as good as Dalot is, he's not a forward. He is mainly a right back. And although he offers a bit of an attacking threat, he's not the player you want on the end of that cross coming on trying to score a goal.
I mean, I guess the only other player he could have brought on was Tahith Chong, but he's not really favoured either. Up next, we're going to talk to Jack Ranson from BBC Manchester, sports journalist and, of course, Manchester United fan.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's 8:32. Miles Blumsome and Ben Senior here for the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Man United fans, if you would like your voice heard on the show, 0208 70 20 558 is our number. Call us or drop us a message on WhatsApp. You can tweet us as well at Love Sport Radio. We're joined now by Jack Ranson, from BBC Manchester, sports journalist. Jack, welcome to the Manchester United Fan Show. How are you today?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Do you think it's been a positive week all round for Man United? The 6-0 win away at Tranmere, then the win at the Etihad, despite being knocked out of the Carabao Cup, and then 0-0 draw yesterday. Maybe you could have expected more, but all up, that for me is for where Man United are right now, that's quite a positive week.
Yeah, and I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, just to call it entirely positive with everything else going on around. I think,
yeah,
you know, it's there isn't a lot of positivity around, to be brutally honest, in for Manchester United. So you've got to take what you can get. And yeah, to be honest, I'm not completely of the opinion that it's all bad, that it's all negative. And you know, there are signs that good things are happening. Like you say, the win at Tranmere, you know, the progress in the cup competitions. Obviously, they didn't get through against City, but decent showing. It wasn't the best game. It wasn't the best, you know, tie overall from Manchester United, but they made it competitive, at least in that second leg. And then obviously getting Bruno Fernandes, getting that deal over the line as well, that's got to be counted as a positive. I thought the game against Wolves was disappointing, to be honest, at Old Trafford, but we are used to inconsistencies in the performances now. So yeah, it wasn't a bad, I can remember worse weeks, put it that way.
Jack, just looking at United in the table now, and after that draw yesterday, I did feel like it was sort of 2 points dropped in that race for fourth, with the break coming up and then Chelsea after it. Where do you see United at now in that race for the top four?
Yeah, I mean, they're in it obviously, but more out of more out of the other teams being poor than Manchester United being good, really. I would be amazed if they finished in the top four. I think that would be an absolute miracle. And I think you know, that would be, I mean, you know, when Jose Mourinho said it was his best achievement finishing second with Manchester United, I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer could say finishing fourth with this team would be his best achievement, because certainly as a manager anyway, because it's dire, and some of the football is bad, is really bad. So finishing fourth would be a big achievement. I don't think it will happen. I mean, I think there are other teams that perhaps have more about them, and I think, you know, that we'll see more from, you know, Tottenham today beat City. Chelsea are inconsistent as well, but perhaps more capable of stringing a few results together. So I think United are a way off in terms of performances. The fact that they're still knocking around there is a good thing. And like I say, I think if they did it, it would be amazing. It'd be an incredible achievement.
Ben mentioned earlier that he'd like to see Mason Greenwood starting more often. Do you think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is protecting Mason Greenwood? Because if he does come into the side, will Man United fans expect him to hit the ground running? Will they expect him to be this top striker he's got the potential to be straight away? Because it can affect the confidence and correct and affect his career going on, especially with Man United maybe not performing as well as you'd like them to, having a young player thrust into this side.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because whenever he comes on, whenever he plays, he looks like a threat. He always looks like he's gonna, you know, he wants to make something happen, looks positive, goes forwards, not afraid to have a shot on goal. And obviously his finishing, you know, we've talked about that, his finishing is sublime. So it kind of, to me, it does look a bit odd that he's not playing or starting more frequently. The only thing I can say is that, yeah, perhaps he is protecting him, because he did that with Brandon Williams a couple of times this season as well, where it looked like Brandon Williams was pretty much nailed on. And then he'd drop him for a few games, you know, bring in Ashley Young or bring in Luke Shaw. So I do think maybe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is sort of trying, as he goes along, trying to sort of protect some of his young players because he's aware how important they are. I'm not sure whether I agree that it's the best strategy, particularly with Manchester United being, you know, short on depth and short on quality, particularly up front. I would probably be more leaning towards the fact of, you know, I'd be more leaning towards the feeling of get him in there. When he's playing well, when he's firing, when he looks hungry, get him in there, get him playing. And like I say, he's looked good whenever he's been on. You know, he's a young player, he's probably going to be inconsistent with his performances, but, you know, let that happen. Let him, you know, let him learn whilst he's on the pitch. Surely that's the best way. That's my own opinion.
So we mentioned Greenwood. Obviously, he's one of our better young players at the minute. But there's also Chong and Gomez, who I know a lot of United fans will be wondering why we haven't quite seen a lot of them. I know Chong was on the bench yesterday, but Gomez seems to be not even been in the squad for recent weeks. Can you shed any sort of light on that and perhaps why it's happening? Is it something to do with the current contract status?
Well, yeah, that's sort of the talk, is that perhaps, you know, particularly with Chong and with Gomez, the uncertainty over their future perhaps is having something to do with it. Gomez, obviously, you know, is homegrown. He's, you know, another one of those sort of prospects who looks good, but we don't think we've seen enough of him really to really sort of know if he's a top player. It's difficult to tell at this stage. Chong, again, I sort of like the look of him from what I've seen of him. I think he's had flashes of sort of good performances, but again, he's not really played enough first team football to be able to tell. The feeling seemed to be that Chong was going to be moving on in this transfer window, but obviously that hasn't happened. I wonder whether there might be a move for him in the summer, perhaps, if that's, you know, if he's hungry to play more first-team football. I have to say, overall, I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, that will be his thing. And I think that's perhaps one of the big things that's keeping him in a job and keeping him in favour with a lot of United fans, is the way that he's dealt with the young players. You know, Marcus Rashford's having his best ever season. Mason Greenwood, Brandon Williams, they've all sort of, you know, this is their season. And that's, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's been in charge for that. So I think I would credit him with that. I would say that's a good thing that he's doing. I think the reason Tahith Chong and Angel Gomez aren't playing and aren't playing as much is perhaps to do with the quality and perhaps to do with, you know, that they're not quite at that level where they can be embedded in that first team for sure. You know, they still have a little bit of growing and developing to do. So I would sort of trust that Solskjaer's treat them right and that he's, you know, doing the right thing in terms of playing them enough.
No games now until the 17th of February. So that's Monday. It's 2 weeks tomorrow. Are you in favour of the winter break?
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest, this is a bit of a fudge, isn't it, in terms of, you know, it's not less fixtures, it's just, it means that they're rearranged so that we're going to have more congestion at another point in the season. So I think perhaps the approach is, you know, obviously the effort is good, the idea is good to have a little bit of a break mid-season. I just think maybe there's a better way of thinking about it so that I actually reduce the workload and you actually don't create a pile up at another point of the season. You know, maybe we need it around more sort of around Christmas time. We need a break so that then you can more evenly spread out the fixtures rather than this weird thing where it's just because of the, you know, they've sort of jiggled around the dates. To me, that seems a bit of a fudge rather than an actual break. But hey, you know, Liverpool are going to treat it as a break. Liverpool are going on holiday, so why can't everyone else?
So by the time that Chelsea fixture obviously comes round, we will have Odion Ighalo in the squad, all being well, and he'll be fit to play. How do you see United's attacking options lining up, and where do you think Solskjaer will place Ighalo in this side if he will from the start?
Well, I saw quite a bit of excitement about Ighalo, and well, I don't know about excitement, but there was a degree of sort of acceptance, and I thought, well, you know, it's a bit of an odd one. I didn't see it coming. I didn't, you know, I can't really see him necessarily having the qualities to challenge for a starting position. And I'm thinking, well, isn't Mason Greenwood a better striker, really, or a better prospect, certainly, than Ighalo is? But then, again, you think about it again, you think, well, perhaps it's competition for places.
Is it down to experience as well? He's got Premier League experience,
yeah,
in terms of, you know, don't have the most experienced squad in the world, Man United.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, that is something that they are lacking with Daniel James and, you know, Martial's experience at this point, but he's, you know, inconsistent still. And like you say, Greenwood, Rashford, still relatively green. So, yeah, I can see that he offers that experience in and around the dressing room, and that's a good thing. I still think, you know, the other night at Old Trafford, Martial was anonymous. He was just, he looks an absolute shadow of the player that he is when Rashford plays alongside him. So, I mean, I wonder if Ighalo can help him with that, if perhaps they'll play together. Maybe that is something that Solskjaer's thinking, that maybe just Martial needs a bit of support. He needs another attack-minded player, or another almost centre-forward to play off him, rather than a sort of Wan-Mata type. He needs an actual centre-forward to play with him. And perhaps that's what Ighalo will provide whilst Rashford's out. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how much game time he gets, whether he's just a sort of fringe player, whether he's just, you know, off the bench is an option, because again, that's something United have been lacking. So yeah, interesting to see how he's locked in. But like I said the other night, Martial was totally anonymous, a massive disappointment, and he has been a lot of the time, I think, this season. So even if it just gives him a bit of a kick up the backside, it's a good thing.
And of course, you mentioned earlier, it's been a good week because Bruno Fernandes has come through the door, finally got him across the line. A good start yesterday against Wolves. Maybe he had a lot of shots, and maybe you didn't see the killer pass that you'd want to see, but that's 48 hours after signing and moving countries. He's got 2 weeks now to get acclimatised to Manchester, get used to it, train with his teammates. This is a guy who can be a top Premier League midfielder, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a decent start. He, like you say, he's acclimatising in every sort of sense of the word, and it's a different league, isn't it? I don't know really what, you know, I don't think anyone can say definitively that he's going to be a success, that he's going to slot in and solve all Manchester United's problems. He might be, you know, some a player that brings it all together and that offers that extra bit of creativity that they so desperately need. He might score, you know, a crucial amount of goals in the latter part of the season to see them into the top four. But then again, we've seen it a lot of times with Manchester United, signing promising players, and it doesn't work for whatever reason. So I'm hopeful, but I'm still a little bit reserved in my optimism, because I think he's played in a very different league. He's played for a team who dominate that league, Sporting Lisbon, dominate the Portuguese league, pretty much barring one or two teams. So it's a very different experience for him in the Premier League playing for Manchester United.
Jack, thank you so much for joining us on the Manchester United Fan Show this evening. Jack Ranson there from BBC Manchester, sports journalist. Up next, there's been a hashtag trending after the game yesterday, hashtag Ollie out. I want to talk about this, Ben, because it's going to divide opinion. I know that producer Paddy, our producer tonight, is very, very animated on this subject. I might even bring him in. It's just after 9:15. This is Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It's the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Miles Blumsome and Ben Senior here with you for the next 10 minutes. You will want to get in touch with us over this topic. 0208 7020 558 is our number. Hashtag Ollie out. What do you think? It was trending yesterday. Do you agree? Has Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had enough time at Manchester United? Do you expect more? Do you want better? Or do you think he should be given more time? Is he the man to lead Manchester United back to the glory days? 0208 7020 558 is our number. You can ring us, or of course you can drop us a message on WhatsApp. So I'm joined by Ben, and I'm bringing in our producer Paddy as well, because Paddy's got a lot to say. Ben, firstly, what do you think about the hashtag Ollie out trending on Twitter?
I mean, half the time, I'm not sure whether it's all United fans behind the hashtag, which I think is important to remember. But yeah, it seems to be at the minute, whenever we either draw a game, concede a goal, lose a game, that's the instant reaction. And I think the problems at this club at the moment in time go way beyond that. And I think people need to wake up and realise that it's problems that have started at the top, whether it's with recruitment, and it's happened over a number of years. And the, like, even with the Igalo signing, we're saying it's a lack of planning. And it's a lack of planning over 6 months to a year to 12 months. It's not just all down to Solskjaer's tactics in a game. So I think, although I don't think Ollie will be a United manager that will go on to win league title after league title, I think at this moment in time we could have anyone in that manager's position, and I think the results would still be quite similar.
All right, producer Paddy is a Manchester United fan as well. You've got a lot to say on this trending after a 0-0 with Wolves. It's more the state of where the club's at now, right?
Yeah, but the fans as well. I think some of these fans that put that out are of a younger age, Ben. I think we're about the same similar age, but these are fans that probably have only been following the club for maybe 10 years, where success was a regular thing. What they don't realise is the state of the club, the state of the club it was in when Ferguson left, the recruitment. Gil, did they really recruit that well of players in that last season?
No.
Marouane Fellaini came in.
Well, that was David Moyes, but the players they had before. So Ferguson didn't leave you with a good squad.
No, he didn't. He left us with an absolute shambles. And I don't know, he's a legend. He's a saint of a man for getting what he did out of the squad. But these supporters need to realise that it's all from the top, as Ben said. It's all from the top. Poor recruitment. Ed Woodward is from the financial side, isn't he? So, of course, he's been looking at the transfer window to see how many jerseys he can sell. You saw that the Louis van Gaal's first transfer window. We saw Angel Di Maria. I knew straight away when he came in, he had no interest. He probably didn't know where Manchester was. I'm not saying that to be spiteful, but of course he was looking at this as, yes, this is going to be a great payday. I'll spend maybe a year here and then I'll swan off to another league, which he did. He went to Paris Saint-Germain because he couldn't hack it at Manchester United. Radamel Falcao was just back from an ACL injury. You were hardly going to see the best of him. 4 goals in 26 appearances.
Ruined his career, the Manchester United spell, because his stock fell and his confidence fell so much.
And he had a horrible spell at Chelsea afterwards as well. But this is it. These fans need to realise that Ole is the first person, in my opinion, that actually gives a damn about the club from the ground up. You saw how he's handling the younger players there as well. You see that squad, they're now playing for this jersey again. I think, personally, looking at them, they might not have the quality in that squad, but you saw Fred. He put in a 10 out of 10 in terms of effort. for me yesterday. So I think Ole out thing is a bit ridiculous, and these fans need to go away and take a look at themselves and see, do they understand how the game works and how a club runs?
What do you think, Ben, about Pei saying that it, the first person to come in to say that to appear that he gives... he cares from the bottom up in this club, from about every aspect of this club, which is what you see from the Gary Nevilles on punditry, the Paul Scholeses. You see that in the punditry arena, but not in terms of within the club. Do you agree that Ollie's the first person since they left, apart from, you know, someone like Marcus Rashford, who is Manchester through and through, who cares about that in terms of in a management position?
In terms of managers, when we look at it, we've tried everything since Fergie. We've gone with David Moyes, we've tried that who we thought was on the similar sort of wavelength. We've tried top class managers out there with Mourinho, Van Gaal, managers who have been there and done it all in the club game, and now we've come to Solskjaer. And I think, look, there's no point if we go from Solskjaer, we're going to go back to one of them options again. We're going to go back to a top class manager. And I think, yes, Solskjaer does care a lot about the club, but it shouldn't just all be down to him. His hands at the minute are tied behind his back a little bit because he can't come out and criticise the board and the way the club's run, because then he's out of a job. And I think with the problem is, look, 18 months ago, Woodward came out and said, we're going to get a director of football. We're going to get a structure in place where he maybe moves over to, like Paddy was saying, over to the business side of stuff, which he is apparently an expert at. Which
revenue's up. Revenue is up. The club revenue is up. In terms of money, he's doing a good job because the club is making more money.
But then again, is it that hard to make good revenue at Manchester United, which is one of the best global brands in sport? And I think the problem is that, okay, he might be doing that now, but if we have another season outside the Champions League and if that keeps on going, then that's only going to go down.
Well, you say that, but you've been outside the Champions League and it's still going up, so that maybe is where his business acumen does come into play.
I think as a brand, Manchester United will always be a brand, and I think that's the problem at the minute, that it's being run as a brand and as a business and almost as an entertainment company, whereas on the pitch, the lack of investment shows week in, week out with the squad, that we get a few injuries and suddenly we don't have a squad and we're rummaging around to try and buy loan the likes of Ighalo. And I think that just shows it all up. It's been the football side of the club has been seen as less as the money side of the club.
You have as well a lot of supporters complaining about how Ole handles the interviews afterwards and the press conference. I think he's handled it the best way he can possibly can. He's not throwing players under the bus. That's how the dressing room was lost by Mourinho. Throwing players constantly under the bus, whining and complaining, and of course the performances were going to go down because the confidence was going down. Ole is doing his best to keep the confidence there because that's what his manager did beforehand, for Sir Alex Ferguson, and that's how he got those players playing every week, because he could go to, say, David May back in the 90s going, you're going to be playing in 6 weeks' time. We're going to really need you for that game. And that's what Jurgen Klopp is doing at the other club over there as well. So I think Ole is starting from the right angle. He's trying to bring the confidence out in these, and he's handling how any manager should be by not throwing your players under the bus.
And we saw against Manchester City that this smiley Ole Gunnar Solskjaer that we see in press conferences is not the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer that is in that changing room. When was it Jesse Lingard he was shouting at? And he said, you do that, you lose the ball one more time and you're off. That he is a bit more... He does have that nasty streak that you need to be a manager. The calls, of course, from a lot of Man United fans are Pochettino's available. Let's go get Pochettino, because he did what people perceive to be as a similar situation at Spurs with a chairman who doesn't like to spend loads of money, a selling club, and he took them and improved them. Would you be happy if he came in for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at this point?
I don't think at this point in time, no. I think Ollie at least deserves the full season. I think we've backed him to a certain extent in this transfer window, bringing in Fernandes and bringing in a striker, and hopefully now he can get his team that he wants playing on the pitch. I think you've got to give him at least till the end of the season. I think that's got to happen just to be fair to the man and give him an actual chance at the role. And I think then you assess it at the end of the season, like any top club should anyway. You do it season by season. If the club isn't quite matching up to the expectations, then you review it again. But I think Ole has come in for a long-term project. I think we've got to give him at least till the end of the season and then assess it again.
I'd give him longer. I'd give him another season or two, because I think he deserves that amount of transfer windows. It lets us see how much Ed Woodward and the Glazers back him by giving him that money to invest in players. I think if we had a decent director of football there, I think Ole would be starting to have success at the moment. He might win an FA Cup here, a League Cup there. But if that's what it's down to, give him another two windows. You can see he's building the squad from the ground up. He's bringing in players that suit his attacking style of play. And by doing that, he's making the fans slightly happy again. Obviously, there's some fans out there that don't agree with his tactics. I didn't agree with his substitute, like you said there earlier, Ben. His substitutes were a bit off the mark. They should be made earlier. But this guy's learning. He's only had a job at Maldon, Cardiff City.
Yeah, that's very true. What a way to finish the show. That was the Manchester United fan show for this Sunday. Ben, thank you so much.
Cheers, man.
I probably won't be here next time. Matt Beadle normally does this show, but I hope that I've kept his seat warm and I hope that you've been happy with me.
It's been a lovely night, yeah.
Oh, it's a lovely time. Thank you, me too. Ben Senior there, thank you so much. Up next is the Sheffield United fan show. Sheffield United fans, you can start getting in touch to get your opinion across. 0208 70 20 558 is the number. This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.